This Week in Wealth is powered by Alpha Wealth Group. If you're serious about retirement and have saved $250,000 or more, call Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino now, 630-934-1855 or alphawealthgroup.com. Alpha Wealth Group, retirement made simple.
This episode of This Week in Wealth is sponsored by Alpha Wealth Group. Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered advisor. WGN Radio and RWA are not affiliated. Here's WGN Radio's Elise Glink and Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink, WGN talk show host. I'm also a financial journalist, and I'm CEO of Best Money Moves, my financial wellness technology company.
And I'm Tom Fortino, the founder and principal of the Alpha Wealth Group here in the Chicagoland area.
So every week we try to help you talk through the business news that matters and answer questions that you have about your money, maybe retirement planning, your investing, your cash. And then Tom and I sit around and we try to solve the world's problems.
Well, yeah, when we have enough coffee. Let's qualify that when it comes to money. But that's a big thing to solve here, especially in today's world. We got a lot of things we have to deal with.
If you want to talk to Tom and the Alpha Wealth Group, you can call him at 630-934-1855, alphawealthgroup.com. So this week, Tom, I want to talk about how the IRS is kicking around this idea that you should dip into your Roth IRA. And, you know, this has always been something. When the Roth IRA started, the idea was not only could you build up this money that would grow tax-free forever because you're using after-tax money, but you could also pass it down to your heirs, and then they would be able to inherit it. But now the government is thinking that they would want to have a required minimum distribution on a Roth IRA and not just your 401k or your regular IRA. So tell us a little bit about what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, they're floating a couple ideas out there. The first one is to say if you have a certain level, and this is in the millions of dollars, and you have a certain level of income, you will have what are called required distributions from the Roth right now. Or there's, again, another idea that I've read about, which says, look, just treat it the same way. Today, as it stands, there are no distributions out of a Roth IRA. There are, at age 72, do have what are called required minimum distributions. In other words, the government, just paraphrasing here, it says, look, you got to start taking, whether you need it or not, you got to start taking money out of a IRA if you've been deferring it all these years. And the first year, it's typically about 3.7, 3.8% that you will have to take out. So in other words, if you have $1 million in an IRA or 401k, your required distribution is roughly $38,000. I'm just going to give you a ballpark estimate so you can see where that's at, and you have to pay all the tax on it. Keep in mind, IRAs, every penny is taxable at whatever the tax rate is. And so now they're saying, well, maybe we should have required distributions out of Roth. Now, Roths, the difference is when you take a distribution out of a Roth, Roths are tax-free. There is no tax on that distribution. It's a 0% tax rate, regardless of whatever tax rates are in the future, is irrelevant. But it is today. This is the law, the rules. You do not have required distributions out of a Roth in addition to the fact that it's tax-free. So, you know, this is the idea they're floating out there. I mean, for whatever reasons, you know, they have their reasons, I guess. Obviously, I say as a taxpayer, I'd like to, you know, have a little more control and not have to take required distributions. But I think there's more of an opportunity for our listeners to say, hey, what is this about the Roth? Because I think there's a lot of questions out there. Because I get this question a lot, and maybe you do as well, Elise. You know, should I put money in a Roth or should I put it in a traditional?
Oh, yeah.
And that's true with a Roth 401k or a traditional 401k. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, I think, for hopefully the takeaway from this is, can I start doing some tax-free planning and starting to contribute, you know, $7,000 to a Roth IRA, up to $26,000 to a Roth 401k, money that grows tax-free forever? This is really something that we should be considering in our overall plan.
So let me ask you, why do you think the government is interested in a required minimum distribution for an account that isn't going to pay any tax?
Well, because if you think about it, once you remove that money from that Roth, it is now in this taxable environment, right? You have to put it somewhere. So if you put it in a bank account, if you put it in an investment, now there's capital gains and income taxes that it will be exposed to going forward. If it isn't taken out, well, of course, there is no future tax revenue for the government. That's the cynic in me. I know there's maybe people try to look at other reasons. That's my belief. It's like, hey, there's this huge pot of money that is never going to be taxable. Well, there's a way to make some of it taxable. We'll have forced distributions or required minimum distributions. Now it leaves that tax-free bubble, whatever term you want to use, and now it's out into the taxable environment.
So that's what you think they're thinking? You think the government's thinking, okay, you got $1 million in your Roth IRA because you were really good about what you invested in, and we're going to make you take it out of that and put it into some sort of taxable account, not into another, and then you're going to make money, more money with it, and then we're going to tax that. You think that's really what they're getting at? I mean, maybe, but doesn't that sound like ridiculous?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think, you know, there's certainly, look, what we're dealing with today with all the you know, corporate tax rate increases, higher marginal tax brackets, these other things, I think that's revenue to the government. So, I mean, you know, again, I've read other ideas. I don't know if I buy it, but, you know, maybe there is. Look, why have forced distributions and just leave it up to the individual to say, look, if I can take the money out, if I choose to, and if I don't, you know, so we can have that discussion. As I said, I think, regardless of what ultimately happens, because again, I just want to repeat, none of this is law right now. Right now, the laws are what they are. I'm a big proponent of Roth IRAs as much as possible. Pay the tax today to never pay it again in the future. Pay on the seed, not on the harvest. So I think there's some opportunity out there, regardless of ultimately what happens. And this may not impact you. And even if there are required distributions sometime in the future, you know, if you're a married couple right now, you can put $7,000 per person right now into a Roth IRA that will grow tax-free forever. Right now, there's no required distributions. It doesn't tax your Social Security and will never be taxed. That's $14,000 you can do. And, you know,
if one of you has to have some earned income, the other,
correct,
a stay-at-home spouse does not. Just to be clear that you can't be retired and not earning anything and put $14,000 away.
You are correct, Elise. Yes, there has to be some earned income. And you can also do $7,000 each. That's another $14,000 if you have earned income, or at least one of you has earned income, on January 1st, which is just a couple months away, 2.5 months away. So if you think about it, in a short window here, you can get $28,000 into a Roth IRA between the two of you, if you're married, that will never be taxed for the rest of your life, doesn't tax your Social Security, you're protecting it from the potential of rising tax rates. You also have a Roth 401k, and you only have until the end of this year. Again, 2.5 months. We're coming up on this deadline, December 31st. There's so many opportunities here. We can have the discussion on what the government's intent is and what these rules may ultimately be, and we'll find out soon enough. But in the meantime, what can we do to position ourselves? Well, I like to call it forward tax planning, where we minimize our tax exposure in retirement. And so these are just a couple ideas. And Roth conversions, one more thing I'll just throw out there.
Well, you're going to have to hold it right there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Roth conversions. You can always reach out to Tom at 630-934-1855 or alphawealthgroup.com. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on 720 WGN. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink here with Tom Fortino. You can find Tom at 630-934-1855, alphawealthgroup.com. All right, Tom, so just as we were going to the break, we were starting to talk about Roth conversions. I had to stop you in your tracks for a moment, but I wanted to give you a chance to pick that up, because I do think that with possible changes coming down the pike, especially, you know, now that the Democrats have said, look, I guess $3.5 trillion isn't going to fly. We're going to have to cut some things. They're also going to have to find some ways to raise revenue. They may go after more things relating to our retirement accounts. So talk for a moment about the Roth conversions and how you think that might help.
Well, in addition to the Roth IRA contributions, Roth 401k contributions, this is a third way to get more money into tax-free. By the way, all three of these are separate from each other. You can do all three. The Roth conversion, You have until the end of the year, December 31st, for this tax year, if you want to get it done. So let me just say one thing about, first of all, about Roth conversions. You can do any amount and any age at any time. So there's no income limits. It doesn't. If you have $1 million in an IRA and you want to move it to a Roth tomorrow, you know, have at it. Not suggesting that. But again, you have until December 31st to do it in this tax year. So if there's an opportunity, so for example, if you have $100,000, it's not a you don't have to do it all at one time. You can do $20,000 a year for 5 years, right? And so you may not necessarily go into a higher tax bracket. And so if you don't get that one part of it done this year, you've lost a potential year to do that. And so again, the whole idea here is, you know, move money from my traditional account, traditional IRA 401k, to a Roth. Pay the tax on that. That will be a taxable event. But now that money is going to grow tax-free for the rest of your life. So that's just these. This is all, you know, we have this terrible relationship, I think you would agree, you know, with taxes. I mean, why wouldn't you? I think most people, it's April comes, we throw everything in a box, we give it to the whoever is doing our taxes and say, you know, tell me what the damage is. That's it. But we can be doing these planning and the ideas I'm talking about every single year. That's going to have a big difference, especially down the road.
Which I think is really interesting. Let me switch gears just a little bit and ask you just a random question, Tom.
Uh-huh.
How often do you check your smartphone every day?
Well, you know, I'm probably not the best person. Believe it or not, I'm pretty detached from my smartphone.
Yeah?
Enough. I check it enough. But
okay,
I would
but to
say,
be fair, you've got Bloomberg up on your screen probably all day.
You know, I've actually left my house and left the phone at the house just because I just want to detach. I mean, again, I know I'm an exception to the rule. How about you? How many times do you? I should ask you.
You should ask me. I was thinking about this as you were saying that you, like, leave your phone at home. I work from home most of the time, so I don't often leave my phone at home. How many times do I check it? I think it's always in my hand because I like to pretend I'm a Gen Z like my kids. So countless. But, you know, the typical American, according to this tech care company, Asurion, they did a survey and they said the typical American looks at theirs 96 times a day or about once every 10 minutes while you're awake.
Wow.
Does that surprise you?
And that it number, doesn't surprise me. No.
No. Well, no, I mean, literally, my kids just hold theirs in their hand all day long, so I don't know how you measure that. That number, though, is actually up 20% from a similar poll 2 years ago, and it got me thinking about, with all the apps that people have now, like every financial institution has an app where you can look at your money and your investments all the time, whether it's Citi or, it's Robinhood or whoever it is. You can trade from these apps. They're pushing you to use them all the time. It strikes me that if you're looking at your investments 96 times a day, it's too often. I just thought, what do you think about that? And it's got to mean that people are just absolutely frantic about what's going on with their investments and where the market is going. And I'm just wondering if you're hearing some of that in your world.
Yeah, I think it's a blessing and a curse that we have information that is right at our fingertips, right? I mean, I've got a TV in my office and in our offices that has, you know, either CNBC or whatever business channel, and I can look at it right now. There's a ticker scrolling across the bottom. There's a thing on the right. There's someone talking in the middle. I see all, you know, it's just this constant. And so we have to be very careful, you know, and there's opinions and we hear everybody saying one thing or another thing. And so, you know, it's the old adage, at any time someone's selling a stock, the other person is buying it and they both think they're geniuses. You have to be careful.
That's right? Why you need somebody smart to help you walk through that maze. It's true, though. You're absolutely right. Somebody's on the other side all the time.
Absolutely. And so, you know, here's why it's so critical when we talk about, you know, I talk about those five pillars to a plan. We've talked a lot today already, at least, about tax planning. That's just only one piece of your plan. Of course, having an income stream, a lifetime income stream, that's another piece. A third piece, and there's five, but the third piece is having an investment plan. And so when we see, you've probably seen the studies too. I know you're someone who's always on top of these things. You know, the Dalbar has done them. The average investor underperforms the market in some cases up to 40-50%. Why?
Yeah.
Because we're just constantly, these opinions are thrown at us and we don't, in some cases, and I get it, it's not to be critical, we let emotions dictate us. So one of the things I always say is really as much as you possible, try to get an investment plan in place. If you're working with someone, ask them, tell me what my plan is. You know, because if something happens in the market and you overreact or you react emotionally, typically it's usually not in your best interest. So again, if there's a takeaway from this, and an investment plan can be as simple as, You know, I'm 50-50. 50% in stocks, 50% in fixed. That's my plan, and I'm going to stick to it.
Well, I think it's really important for people to not give in to the fear that the market is going to tank, so they ought to move everything into cash. I mean, mm-hmm. Kiplinger surveyed hundreds of retirees and near retirees to ask them about their biggest financial fears. You know, and the top ones are like rising inflation, cost of health care, financial strength of Social Security, financial strength of Medicare. And then the last one, 62% of retirees or near retirees think that there's a recession coming in the next year or two. And over the past 15 years, we've all lived through two very severe and unexpected recessions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get it. Why you might be looking at your phone wondering if there's a recession that's going to pop up, oh, say at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something.
Right. Yeah, we get these, and again, we hear people talking, and we have all this information that's available to us. And uncertainty, unfortunately, especially when you're nearing or in retirement where you're the most vulnerable, you know, it's unfortunate. It really is disheartening when people have to worry about this. And so I'm not trying to be trite about this, but, you know, simply, this is why when you say, do I have an income plan? Do I have income that's going to come in regardless of what happens in the market?
Yeah, you can plan for a recession. I think people don't understand that. You can plan. You have somebody like you, Tom, or somebody else. You know, somebody can help you think it through mm-hmm. and plan for this stuff. Recessions will happen. Planning is the solution to that.
I agree. And so that's why you can test your plan and talk about those things and see what happens if there's a downturn in the market. How does that impact me? There's ways to test that and look at it. We do that. This is one of these things that you really want to take a look at, again, as it relates to what's my investment plan? What does happen if there's a downturn in the market? How does that impact me? And again, I made the comment, and I'll stick with this, as far as that's why income planning is one of these overall pieces to your plan is so critical. You know, we talk about Social Security. We talk about pensions. We talk about using annuities for income. That income is going to come in regardless of what happens in the market. It's going to come in regardless of how much you have in savings. So if you have a strong income plan coupled with a strong investment plan, you know, now we're really, and let's not forget, we talked about taxes, minimizing taxes. This is planning, and hopefully it reduces some of that uncertainty. But I agree, too, with what you said. The investment plan, you know, it's hard to figure out what our risk tolerance is when the market keeps going up. You know, all of a sudden the market starts to come down. We're saying, wait a minute. Maybe we, you know, maybe
and
we need to be
and
a little
you
less
lose
risky.
Perspective too, right? Because you think to yourself, "Oh my God, it's going down. It's going to go down. This is the big one. It's going to," and we sort of throw ourselves off this cliff emotionally, mm-hmm. and there's no way to bring yourself back. It's, you know,
it is. It's again, it's unfortunate, and that's why I said, you know, these studies have shown, and again, I get it. Boy, it's your money. It is emotional.
It's your lifetime. It's your lifeline.
Absolutely. Yeah, and yeah. So it's. I think it gets back to what you said. There's ways to create an investment strategy or plan that you know, takes these things into account and then fits with what your goals and objectives are, right?
Yeah, and I do like your five pillars of retirement. We talk about them a lot in the show, but you know, the idea that you've got some sort of asset protection and you understand where those assets are, your mm-hmm. investment protection, your investment plan, the estate and legacy planning that you want to do because you want to leave something to go forward. You know, taxes, which we talk about, you know, endlessly. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should necessarily make, you know, every move to be about taxes. But,
no.
You know, in conjunction with everything else, it's a big part of it. And then finally, you know, you don't have to worry about a recession if you've got a guaranteed stream of income. Mm-hmm. You just don't. And frankly, if you're getting Social Security today, there's just no way any politician is going to wrest that away from you.
Yeah.
I mean, people like me who are in their 50s, we have to worry a little bit more about that. And in our 40s, you got to worry a little more about it. You're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. There is nobody who's going to take that away from you. They want your vote too badly. That's just my opinion.
I agree. I agree with that.
Anyway, well, thank you so much for listening. We're out of time again, so quick that it flies by. But if you want to talk to Tom about all of these things and your five pillars, give him a call at 630-934-1855, or you can go to alphawealthgroup.com. And we'll be back next week for another edition of This Week in Wealth. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Have a great week, everybody.
Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered advisor. Alpha Wealth Group, WGN, and RWA are not affiliated. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specialized in fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Retirement Wealth Advisors. Insurance and annuities offered through Alpha Wealth Group, licensed in Illinois.